Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Heather. Hey, Matt. Hey.
Hey, Nick.
I think this is going to be a good episode, but I admittedly, this topic is a little random.
Yeah.
It's random. A little random,
It's a little random. That's okay.
Yeah, the internet likes random.
I mean, I'm sure I'll gripe about it later, but right now, I'm down.
Okay. Yeah, it's, you know, it's they're going to love it.
Speaking of random, I mean, this is random, but I've been developing a little side project, a little video game of my own.
Hey, Nick, look at you.
That's great.
Yeah.
You're dipping your toes back into the water. That's great, Nick.
That world. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's called, it's Labor of Love. It's called Big the Cat Fucks a Speedboat. And basically, I mean, it kind of is what it sounds like from the title. You know, you are the player character, are Big the Cat, and then there's a speedboat, and you're just really going at it. Every time you successfully fuck it, you get a pie, which is also, you know, kind of random. I think in the spirit of the game. In fact, the type of pie is randomized. Sometimes it's lemon meringue. Sometimes it's a Dutch apple.
Nick, you're a wise man.
Thank you.
You're a wise man.
Thank you.
And I believe in you. I know. I understand that you understand the world. Who is this game for?
Yeah, that's sort of my big question. Because Big the Cat,
yeah,
you know, an ancillary character in the Sonic universe.
I mean, ancillary is a little harsh, but go on.
Well, doesn't have his own game is what I'm saying.
Not yet. Not until he gets his hands on that speedboat.
And like, I know he's like in Sonic Frontiers. Mm-hmm. He's fishing, so he's like water adjacent. I just don't know, like, I don't know if like boat and Big the Cat is like, this is my only problem with it, is that I think it could be something else.
Yeah, actively not looking for notes. I'm telling you what the game is.
I guess maybe just walk us through a couple other things that maybe Big the Cat.
The voice, so the Big the Cat, you know, well, obviously we're trying to get the original voice actor, well, TBD. The voice of the boat. The X-Files star David Duchovny. So that'll be fun.
The boat, the voice of the boat?
Yeah, I go to the same gym as Duchovny, and so I just you know, I'll sometimes spot for him. And
you must be the best spotter on earth. That dude's fucking shredded.
He's jacked.
Yeah.
He's fucking huge.
He's huge. And now I'm a little more interested in the game, actually, because I like to know that a voice actor is jacked.
Yeah.
And I know that to be true of Mr. Duchovny. And he's like kind of like a horny guy.
It's also because, yeah, it's a horny game. He was in the Red Shoe Diaries, and you know what? Hey, it's again, this, the whole theme here is random.
Yeah.
Here's another thing that seems random. It's a text adventure.
What?
There's no graphics. It's all text.
It's a text adventure.
Yeah.
Okay.
With some voicing.
Nick,
mm-hmm.
I'm proud of you. It takes courage, wisdom, and power to see a vision like this through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, thank you.
We were being a little harsh before, but I think it's good that you made a video game where you have to read that Big the Cat from Sonic Fucks a Boat, voiced by David Duchovny. Yeah, that's good. I think that's good.
Well, we all agree it's good. I think that's a good place to end things. Let's do a show. We rank fictional video game three-dimensional objects via a fictional video game two-dimensional object as we craft our Triforce of Cubes this week on Get Played.
Welcome to Get Played, your one-stop show for good games, bad games, and every game in between. It's time to get played. I'm your host, Heather Ann Campbell, with my fellow host, Nick Weiger.
Nick Weiger, that's me. And I'm here with our third host, Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. And welcome back to Get Played, the premier video game podcast, where we used to talk about and torture ourselves with bad games, but now we talk about anything we want. And generally speaking, it's like Nick or Matt saying, let's talk about this. And that's going to be that episode today. Today, they said, hey, let's talk about this. And I said, what? And they said, let's talk about it. And I went, wait, what? What are we talking about? And they said, that's the thing. So listener, get ready. You're in for a treat. Straight from the noggins of Weiger and Apodaca, it's a special episode. But
washing your hands of the content of the episode preemptively, I think this is going to be good.
I think this might be one of our all-timers.
I think it's going to be great. I think it's, you guys
also,
have really...
Also, you have input on the show. You're allowed to pitch whatever you want. We'll do your ideas.
That's true.
All we hear from you is, I don't have time to do the podcast.
That is not true. I have said for 1 year straight, come to my place and play 32X. And you guys, the light goes out of your eyes when I say it. And you look away and you say, oh, what's that sandwich over there? Or did you know where my wallet is? Like, it's all like a 32X.
I'm good today. Do you want to do it today?
32X.
Yeah, we can do it today.
Instead, what?
We can do it today. You want to do it today?
We could have done it today.
Like, if we come over right now, you're not busy or anything?
You got nothing else going on, right?
You're going to call my bluff, huh? You're going to come right over right now? Yeah, all right, motherfuckers. Why don't you come over right now? Right now.
If
put down
lucky,
the podcast.
She'll kill us.
Hang up your phones.
I do think we should do it. I think
it's a great idea.
Because there's another idea that we have that I won't spoil because I think it's a good idea. That not that we don't want to be at your house all the time. I love being at your house. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think we can kill two birds with one stone, get two episodes from one hand.
Two episodes from in one day. And the truth is, there's so much bullshit here that we could probably do three or four episodes. I could subject you guys to Game & Watch for an hour, and you'll be like, okay, let's rank Game & Watch. The least terrible one was Donkey Kong.
For when this happens, will Mary be there?
Yeah, can we hang out with Mary?
Knives in my stomach. Just ruthless and unnecessary.
And here's the thing. I'm just being cheeky.
We love everyone at your house. Mary, your dog.
The crows.
No, we'd love to come over. That'd be great. It's
great.
A logistical challenge, different from like, hey, there's no prep and we can just show up and talk about something, which is what we're doing today. We'll figure it out.
We'll offline about it and we'll make it happen soon.
There is prep because I had to look up what the fuck you guys were talking about.
And I do want to say, I think this idea is good. Nick pitched it a while ago and we didn't get to it. And I was like, I'm holding on to this for when we need something. Not that this was in case of emergency break glass situation, but I was like, I think now they're ready for it. I think they're ready for this huge idea.
Came in handy in the clutch.
Yes.
Look. I'll be transparent with the listener. I've been asked to write a movie in a few very short weeks from start to finish. Like,
yeah, she's adapting the OJ novel. I did it.
And so my schedule has become extremely busy. I'm really grateful for this opportunity. It's fantastic. It's, what a joy. But it has put a crowbar into what I thought was going to be a leisurely schedule as I headed towards my wedding.
Crowbar a hint as to what movie she's writing?
Huh? No, I don't think I'm allowed to say what movie I'm writing.
Crowbar.
Yes. OJ's self-financing a movie where he finds the guy?
Interesting. So it's like Taken, but with OJ?
But he's Nordberg from the Naked Gun movies.
Yeah. It's going to be funny.
It's going to be funny. He's funny in those movies.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the kind of, that's why Nick's like, well, I'm not the busy one. I don't know. It's been a fucking year. 32X, a year. come over and play Star Wars Arcade a year.
I'll do it anytime.
Nick will get off of his hammock that he has set up between two palm trees on his little island, and he'll come over to your house.
It took Nick 3 months to get Matt and my Christmas gift for him.
That's true.
And the only reason he got it was because I brought it to him. I was like, okay, here you go.
In the studio, which is where I'm at, with Matt today.
Yes.
And Jordan. Jordan is here, does our engineering.
That's true.
And Heather, somewhere else.
Yeah, that's... Just
I don't like
her. Get her.
Let me just say this.
You started this.
I want to
fucking shitting on the premise for our episode up top.
We're all friends and we all like each other.
We really like each other.
We're just having a laugh. You know how fun it is to just kind of take the piss with your pals for a little bit?
It's super fun.
It is fun.
And if you're one of the Reddit commenters who is like, I can't stand Heather's tone. Matt and Nick are nice guys. Why she gotta be so mad at them? Know that I've been smiling this entire time.
And here's the thing. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Smiling as if I'm hitting my own kneecap with a hammer. Just over and over. Smiling.
I love that. We should go over to Heather's place and we should play some games and we should come up with some content. And then you guys should come over to my place and I'll show you some stuff.
Oh, what? Shit. I was going to cook for you guys. Remember that?
That's right.
Pitch?
Yes. That was the pitch that I was saying. Let's keep that under wraps.
I think I could tell the audience that. I was going to, because I've got multiple video game cookbooks and I was going to cook recipes for multiple video game cookbooks and we would do an episode. Like, that sounds like a great episode.
That sounds like it's a home run. Nick wants just invited us to his house.
Nick wants us to come to his place.
Yeah.
And I'm down.
Great.
I'm down simply because I don't believe him.
Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with Spring Break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players, start playing with just $5 and get $100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code GETPLAYED to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours! Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per opted-in new customer. $5 wager required. Max $100 in casino credits awarded, which require one-time playthrough within 168 hours. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Restrictions apply. Remember when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, there are hundreds of families who have still not yet been reunified.
Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm-reduction-based practice.
They've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that all families belong together, then join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer.
Can we switch topics real quick? And yeah. Hey, this could have been the episode. I think this would have made you even more enraged. But a thing I've been getting in my YouTube algorithm, I don't know if this happened to either of you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been getting these AI-generated presidential tier list videos where basically it's Obama, Biden, and Trump making tier lists of various franchises. And I've seen so many of these because they just started popping up my algorithm like 2 weeks ago. And I click on all of them and I like all of them. But I imagine some of our listeners are seeing the same thing. Can we just sent you a link, Matt. Can we just play some of this so you can get a sense of it? I think this is them making a Mario tier list.
Yeah, here we go.
All right, great.
All right, you amateurs, let's rank the mainline Mario games.
Bring it on, you pussies.
All right, let's go chronological and start with Super Mario Bros. Does anyone even play this game outside of speedrunning?
Here we go with this shit again.
Joe, it's old as shit and boring. I think it's a low C tier.
It's dog shit, Joe.
Whoa, hold on, you dumbasses. This game is the classic Mario by which all others are measured. It's A tier for that reason alone.
Joe, you dickhead. This game came out closer to World War II than to today. It's literally only good for one type of speedrun, and there is no replayability. Get your head out of your geriatric ass. This game is B tier at best.
Look at Mr. History Channel over here. Shut the fuck up, Donald. It's A tier quality.
Wrong.
Look, I don't think it's A tier, Joe. That's insane. I'm going to place it in B tier.
I think that's stupid, but whatever.
Wrong.
Whatever. Let's move on. SMB2 is a pretty obvious
what
tier.
We get it. What is life, man?
It's truly insane. And it's, you know, like, look, this is the fun before
we get
society collapses.
Yeah.
Yeah, collapses. Yeah.
Because, yeah, this is, I was like, I'm shocked that I am actually entertained by this. This is fucking great.
It's great.
But then I was like, oh, man. We are one news cycle away from it has been unable to be determined whether Joe Biden was caught on a hot mic saying and then you hear a quote.
Yeah.
Or whether this is an AI generated story. And there have been no there's no independent verification capabilities yet created by the CIA or what. Like, we're fucked until then. I did like both Trump and Obama dunking on Biden. What good. That's
so
good
funny.
Very
that's funny.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's good.
Podcasting.
Obama also, like, he seems to be the mediator role in all of these videos. A lot of them done by different creators. I watched a Zelda tier list, watch a Mario Kart tier list, watch a Soulsborne tier list. They're all good.
I've seen them on TikTok. Like, they're like squatting up in like, like Call of Duty or whatever. And they're always getting mad because like, Biden's always playing like the wrong game or something.
It's also interesting because there's like, I've seen some that have like George W. Bush in them as well. And the W is never as good. And it's just like, oh, there just must not be as many hours of George W. Bush's voice that's been archived and AI have been trained off of.
Yeah, because like, think about that too. Like, I mean, he wasn't like a social media president.
Right.
Like everybody else is sort of like on, like more online than him. So I bet you could generate, anyone. I mean, should we just AI generate one of our shows? There's probably enough hours there. We can just like call that a day.
Let's do it. Let's fucking
okay.
do it.
Mine would sound too human to be believable.
Oh, and when Nick and I were walking outside, we saw those two of those delivery robots. And
yes.
They both stopped and said, "What's up, Nick?" They like knew him.
Speaking of robots, that I shared a trailer or a gameplay video with you guys, which I can just talk about, or we can watch and talk about as you guys are watching it. It's for the upcoming RoboCop game. This is from Taeon, and looks just like the movie. I mean, just looks like fucking RoboCop. The problem is, you enter this first-person perspective in the game.
Yeah.
And you are playing as RoboCop. And it is immediately uncomfortable. Like, you are walking around as a emotionless police officer in a dystopia that doesn't, no longer looks like, unlike our world.
Right. Yeah.
And eventually you are just killing people. Like, you just start killing.
I will take care of.
It's like, there are drugs in the basement? I'll take care of that. He goes down to the basement.
I dropped my keys somewhere.
And then fucking just starts executing potential criminals.
Right.
And it's not It's no good, guys. It made me so uncomfortable, and I love violence. That's all.
The power dynamic at play of just being law enforcement is it makes it feel like extra grim as you're mowing everyone down. You're not an underdog. You're an unstoppable killing machine who works on behalf of the authoritarian state.
I think it looks awesome.
It does look awesome. When you mentioned it being in first person, which I understand that choice for a lot of reasons, especially if it's primarily gunplay, and you know you get to see the HUD, you get to live the RoboCop HUD, which is featured so prominently in the films. By the way, I saw RoboCop 1 in theaters late last year at a rep screening. At the time of my fucking life.
I've never seen it.
So fucking hot. Yeah. Oh my god! It's an all timer for me. It's such a great movie.
I'll have to watch it.
Holds up so much. Feels so prescient. But anyway, for me, seeing in first person is like, I just want to see fucking RoboCop. This feels like a game with a third person perspective. It's such a cool character design. Let's see more of it.
I think the problem is that they had to put it in first person because he cannot move fast enough for it to make sense.
Interesting.
Like his walk cycle wouldn't make any sense because we know how RoboCop moves and it's like ka-chunk, 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 right. Ka-chunk. But everybody else would be moving at human speed. So
yeah,
you have to put it in first person to like cheat that problem.
Yeah, no, I understand why they might have decided on that from a design perspective, but I miss seeing the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll see him in cutscenes.
Sure.
Murphy. The name's Murphy.
Wife showering. Old house empty. What am I?
Robopod.
Well, look, we have a great topic we're going to get to.
Great.
Probably the
topic.
Best topic we've ever had.
Yeah, great topic
one
we're going to get to in
one
a second.
Of the, I mean, legendary status. In the Triforce of episodes, this one is the Triforce of power.
Barack, you dipshit. This episode is easily S tier. What the fuck are you talking about? This is B tier for sure.
I could have watched the entire rest of that video.
I watched a Pokemon one, and like I laughed so much. And then like there was another that was posted like 2 weeks ago, and then like last week the guy the whoever created it posted a part two because he's like, I wasn't expecting this to blow up, and people wanted more, so here's part two. Anyway, we're gonna get to this S tier topic in 1 second, but first I have to ask everyone, what are you playing?
Man, that is such a weird space.
The Resident Evil merchant would come in here usually and tee that up, and we just haven't heard from
him. Yeah, he kind of just,
just disappeared.
It's also strange because I feel like it was hitting a pop culture saturation point. Like, there were references to that segment on other websites and blogs. There's now T-shirts that say, what are you buying?
Not from us.
Not from us. From other people who are just hopping on that bandwagon.
I think maybe a big mistake maybe on whoever produces this show's end.
I don't want to like say we're replacing the Resident Evil merchant, and I know we can't really fill that void completely. You know, he was maybe more trouble than he was worth, which is partly why he's been excised. But I was thinking about what we could use for this segment. And actually, Matt, if you want to get the door, I got us another video game celebrity.
Oh, sure.
Who we could just try out today and see if it works. So okay.
Sure.
You want to let him in?
Yeah, I'll let him in.
Wow. Okay,
yeah. And you can just put the headphones on. Great.
Hey, it's me, Bubsy. Did I mention I don't like heights? You know me, Bubsy, the beloved platform character from my games, Bubsy, Claws Encounters of the Third Kind. And of course, Bubsy 2 and Bubsy in Fractured Furry Tales. Everyone loves me.
Hey, Bubsy?
Yeah.
We won't be needing you today. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Bubsy. We'll be in touch.
Yeah.
go for Baroque. That's one of my catchphrases.
What?
It doesn't go, make any sense. Why there's no yeah, why would you reference that art style?
Go ahead, make my day.
Does he say that?
Well, it worked for Clint.
What?
I say both those things.
Listen, yeah, you know, I'm open to having somebody else do the what are you playing thing for sure.
For sure.
I don't think, and this is no disrespect to you, Bubsy. I hate to do this in front of you, actually. It's like, it's not really how like the creative process goes. You know, I've been on the other side of this as well, like, you know, like auditioning and stuff. And it's tough when they give you feedback right to your face. I don't know if we need to go with the first guy that comes in. You know, I think it could be like a sort of like, it could be an audition process rather than just like trying to fill a void right away.
Okay, well.
But it's not that, not to say you didn't get it. We might ask you to do this.
I only regret I have but 9 lives to give. I'll go and on my way out the door. What are you playing? From Bubsy. This is Bubsy asking, what are you playing?
Okay. Thank you, Bubsy.
Thank you, Bubsy.
And, you know,
thank
if you want to maybe contextualize those 9 lives a little bit, might I recommend Puss in Boots and The Last Wish?
Oh, man, that's a great cat franchise.
That's, I wish Puss in Boots can do it. He's not really
if
like
we
a
got
video
Puss
game.
In Boots in here, that'd be great. There's a Shrek video game.
Oh, yeah.
If he makes an appearance.
I think he's a playable character in like the Shrek sort of like beat 'em up games.
Yeah.
Who wants to go first? Heather?
Go ahead, Heather.
Yeah, I think I should go first because I have very, very little to say. I haven't been able to. I've done a little bit more racing in PSVR.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to our Discord, I am assembling a sort of shopping list for the steering wheel that I'm going to get because I want to really be immersed in the racing experience, the smoothness of life. Maybe I'll even race next to a cup of coffee so that when I'm in the Gran Turismo cafe, I can sip that coffee.
That's cool.
In in Fortnite news, this week marks the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
The Shockwave Hammer has been vaulted. There have been trailers released for the upcoming season of the game, which will incorporate a Neo Tokyo style Blade Runner city with neon lights and new samurai sword mechanics.
Wow.
And a bunch of new characters. There's also going to be a Star Wars event where the lightsabers come back. And as we all know, I love putting on that Kylo Ren skin and charging at people while wielding a lightsaber.
It is
one of the great joys. I just want to say thank you to the incredible Get Played Battle Bus Discord community. I now have more than 100 people on my fucking friends list.
Wow.
My epic friends list. And it is because of the organization of a few members on that Discord. And every time I get 20 minutes to play, the chances of me playing with some of our listeners is really high. And I'm really, really grateful for that. It's been awesome. I can't wait to see what the next season holds. And to the haters who can't fucking stand me talking about Fortnite. Oh, well.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry you don't like 2 seconds or, you know, 2 minutes on a fucking free show.
Yeah, especially on a game that like I'm talking about shit that's it's not like I'm just like, oh, I dropped on the same house and I shot the same guys over and over again. Every week the game is changing. Like,
yeah,
they're adding shit constantly. So it's a real pleasure. And I think a model of future video games. Like, this is what they wanted Valhalla. Ubisoft wanted Valhalla to be this, where it's constant events and like upgrades, but they don't have the narrative capacity to incorporate random crazy bullshit. Eren Jaeger from Attack on Titan is going to be in the next season of Fortnite, along with Titans, potentially.
That's fucking cool.
Like, they're going to add a grappling mechanic for a short amount of time. All this stuff is just stuff I've seen leaked on Twitter. It's like, why wouldn't you play it the every game? I love mayonnaise.
I love mayonnaise, too.
Yeah. I mean,
you never hear me say a bad word about mayonnaise.
Well, yeah, yes. You know, you eat it by the handful, but I like it at a normal amount.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
It's also what you were just saying, Heather. So many games are continuing to emulate this and have also tried to emulate this. And we've seen things like with Halo Infinite or, you know, Avengers, the Square Enix Avengers game. I forget what the subtitle was. It's like the failings of those is that it's just like they have like kind of a they have limitations within the worlds that they've established or the world that they've licensed, you know, versus like Fortnite, they can do whatever. And it's just the whole thing of it is it doesn't make any sense at all.
Fortnite is the Kingdom Hearts of shooters. Like, it's a bunch of shit that should not go together and does. And it's delightful as a result.
Yeah.
Like, the Terminator should never be pointing a gun at the head of Goku.
Yeah.
But there he is. Ariana Grande should never be hiding in a shrub from LeBron James.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, you assholes, let's go ahead and rank all the weapons from Fortnite. Donald, you idiot. The red eye assault rifle is S tier for sure. We're talking in a flat, unnaturally flat tone.
That's so, yeah.
Makes it funnier.
Yeah. Yeah, very different for you.
Matt, what are you playing?
I'm still in Pokemon Black world on my Steam Deck, and I'm absolutely loving it. I encountered a Trubbish in battle the other day,
nicely
Heather.
Nicely done.
And I was going to take a picture of my Steam Deck, but I decided it was too late at night to bother you with such a thing.
I mean, I keep my shit on D&D when I'm sleeping.
Oh, that's nice. Well, now that I know that.
Yeah, you can text
get ready
me
for all
night
these
long.
Crazy late night texts.
I'll yeah. wake up at 5:30 in the morning, as one does, and I'll immediately see that I have 30 messages from you guys, and I'll make my morning.
Oh, wow, great. Wow. I'll start popping off in the late night. But I've been doing that, and I'm really, really loving that. I'm taking my time with it, though. Just because I'm in sort of a zone where I'm just bouncing between a bunch of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I got I'm playing our We Play You Play game, which I don't think we said at the top.
Meant
of the
to
show.
Say that up top of the show. This month's We Play You Play is Metroid Prime Remastered, coming Monday, March 27th.
Yeah,
thank you for the reminder.
I'm playing that, and you know, I'll have more to say about that. But I have two big updates. First update was that I had to return a couple of things on Amazon. So I had an Amazon credit that I didn't know what to do with.
Is this another opportunity for you to shit on Sonic Frontiers? Is that what this is? Is that what you're teeing up?
No, that credit's long gone. I returned that and got credit for it. But I had credit that I was like, what do I do with this? I don't know if I need anything. I saw that Persona 5 Royal for Switch was like on sale. Mm. It was like $40.
Okay. Oh, hell yeah. Okay.
I was playing it on Game Pass on my Steam Deck, but I was like, I have this OLED Switch, and I was only 40 hours into it. I double dipped, baby. I got it.
Wow.
Yeah. I started it again.
Alpha move.
And I'm playing that again, just like in little spurts. I'm not in a rush, you know,
because
I've experienced quite a bit of it. I'm not in a rush to finish this thing. I forgot how fun the beginning of the game. It's so good.
Cause, like,
you don't spend a lot of time in the beginning of the game because it's like, you know, it's just the beginning. But I had experienced it already. And by the time we talked about it, I had been, like 40, almost 50 hours into it. It's delightful. It's so great. Just like when you're meeting all these characters for the first time and stuff, it's just, it rules. It's so, so good. And it looks great on the OLED Switch. And I also double dipped for something on Steam Deck because this was the lowest price I've seen it at. And it was Red Dead Redemption 2. And that's maybe one of my all-time favorite just games. I love it so much. And
like when it goes on sale, I imagine you bought it through the Steam store playing it on Steam Deck.
Yeah.
When it's gone on Steam sale, it's been like, it gets like $10 off, maybe $20 off. But I saw it, like, I think it was like $19.
That's
the cheapest I've ever seen it.
Yeah. So that's what I was like, okay, now I'll double dip. I thought about it previously because I was like, oh, it'd be cool to have this on Steam Deck just to have this as a portable option. I don't know how portable it is because I think you have to be logged into the fucking Rockstar launcher or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure if you have to be constantly online to be playing it. But it was too good of a deal to pass up. It took all day to install to my Steam Deck because it's such a huge, it's a massive game.
It's a big
100, almost 130 gigs, taking up the remaining space on my Steam Deck. And it took forever, and I finally was like, I got a hardwire connection into my router, and it still, from there, took almost 3 hours to complete.
Wow.
But I'm looking forward to getting on horseback, maybe picking up some bounties, and just letting my, I guess, my freak flag fly, and being a cowboy. I love being a cowboy. Yeehaw, giddy up.
Yeah.
Et cetera. No,
cowboy's
playing a cowboy
genre.
Game always makes me hungry.
Mm.
You like stew, huh?
Stew,
you like stew?
Bacon on a cast iron pan.
I love stew. Oof.
I'm big on beans.
Yeah, all
Give
of
me
it.
Them beans.
Cowboy food's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's all because think about it. I mean, they're often hunting,
right?
So it's like they're gonna eat whatever they're hunting, and it's gonna be good. Those cowboys know how to eat, and I commend them for it.
Yeah.
But Nick, what are you playing?
Before we move on, one of the most shocking statistics about the Wild West and Old West to me is that it maybe lasted 20 years.
Yeah. That is interesting to think about.
Not a long period.
Yeah. It's like 2002 to now.
Yeah.
Is the period of time when you might be in the Old West.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I loved about the first Red Dead Redemption was that, you get to, sort of, toward the end of the game, and you just see, a fucking car, and you're like, what the fuck's going on here? It's not, a new car, but it's, one of the first cars, and you're just sort of like, I've been driving around on a fucking horse this whole time. They've been cars?
Yeah.
Just further away?
So it's basically, the Wild West lasted for as long as, the run of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's like a very strangely short amount of time.
I just looked it up. The archetypical Old West period is cited by historians to have occurred between the end of the Civil War in 1865 and the 1890 U.S. Census. So that's the iconic Old West period. And that's 25 years.
A quarter century. Yeah.
That's nothing.
Let's bring it back.
Yeah.
What?
Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back.
Okay.
It's coming back.
Why not?
He'll come back. I've been playing a couple of things. First of all, I'll just touch on Sekiro again. I've been reading some books on, I love self-help books. It's one of my indulgences. They are for me what trashy romance novels are for some other people. I know they're not really all that helpful, but I enjoy reading them. And I've read a few that there's this new movement and like kind of like an anti-productivity sort of approach to self-help, which is that we become so productivity is like obsessed that there's now an emphasis on just like fucking just take the days as they come. Don't feel like you have to schedule out every hour you have and just do whatever the fuck you want. Do something that's fun for you. But one thing that I did pick up that I did find useful is, if it's something that you enjoy doing or want to do, instead of giving yourself like a skill you want to work on, instead of giving yourself like a target amount of time to do for a minimum, have a target amount of time to do as a maximum. And that, like, in and of itself, that like restriction is kind of freeing and means that you can kind of like whatever, you don't feel like you have to hit a goal. Rather, you feel like, okay, I have like this little window of time that is set aside for this thing. And I've been doing this with Sekiro because it is a game that is like, you know, I'm a patient gamer. I'm a persistent gamer, but you know, it is still a game that can be frustrating. So I just kind of give myself like 1 hour per day to play this game. And you know, however far I make it, that's kind of where I call it quits. And it's been working really well for this. And I feel like I'm making steady progress. And sometimes I'm like, oh wow, I did pretty well in that hour. Anyway, some observations I've had as I've been playing more of this game. Too many shinobi prosthetics. Some of them, I feel like they don't really have their place, or they're too specialized, or too situational. Not to give From a note, but I kind of feel like Umbrella's cool, you know, shurikens are cool, but you know, some of the stuff it's just too much. But one thing that I realize is like in terms of why does this game feel so differently than Dark Souls or Elden Ring? And obviously the emphasis on parrying as approach to dodging is a huge part of it, but I don't know why it took me so long for me to zero in on this. No stamina bar. There's no stamina.
Oh.
And so, yeah, you can just run as much as you want. You can feel free to flee and dash around. And it does make you, when you embrace that, like, hey, I can just sort of, you know, there's a thing that's like stamina, which is posture. But that comes from you know, mistiming deflections or from taking block damage, basically, your posture can ultimately be staggered. But stamina, in the sense of just like you just get exhausted from normal actions, that doesn't really exist. And that also, in terms of letting yourself escape from battle, it also lets you just relentlessly pursue opponents, which sometimes is a way, if you're doing that, you can really beat the shit out of somebody, which is very satisfying. So yeah, when I just kind of crystallized like, oh yeah, there's no stamina bar, I don't know why it took me so long to just make that very simple observation. A thing I do really like, another thing, and this is an early game thing that you learn and that you kind of use throughout, but it's a thing I really like, and it's a mechanic I haven't really seen in the same sort of way in too many other games. You can wall jump in Sekiro, but you don't have to change directions. It's not like you usually when you wall jump off a surface in a, you know, traditionally it's orthogonal. You go in the opposite direction, mm-hmm. and you can like, you know, kind of jump between things. And this game does have that, but also you can jump towards a wall and then use your motion. It's very unnatural physically, but who gives a shit, because it plays great, mm-hmm. Just to propel yourself directly upward. So I do really like that, and I do really appreciate the choices they made. I don't know. It's a fucking extremely fun game and extremely satisfying, and I'm just chipping away at it an hour a day. This other game I played on stream, Late Shift. This is an FMV game developed by or published by Wales Interactive, who does a lot of these. Welsh developer, obviously. I thought this was a lot of fun to stream. It's got really impressive production values for you know, an FMV game. Like, just it's just kind of like, oh wow, some time has passed and they really have some budgets for these things. Pretty good acting. I think the writing is a little trying too hard to be Guy Ritchie, but it's basically like, you know, it's a British heist, it's a Welsh like sort of heist scenario where you're a parking valet, your player character is a parking valet, and then you get, you know, kind of inadvertently looped into carrying out a heist for an artifact, and the narrative just proceeds through there. And you've got all these sorts of choices that you make, and that's what makes it at all interactive. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I just will say, like, there's a thing, and I think a lot of it comes from Telltale games, where critical choices are like there's a timer,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of just feel like these games, I don't know, I'd like to have a toggle to turn the timer off. or or maybe just some Twitch integration where there was no time restraint on the choices and like the chat could vote. Cause I mean, that would be fun for something like this. That said, I don't know. I don't know why I like FMV games. They're just like, it's the least interactive a game can be, I guess, outside of a visual novel, but I still kind of find them very engaging. And this one was a lot of fun. I'll play more from Wales Interactive.
They can be pretty fun. I really liked when we did, I think I liked it. I think her story was interesting, right? Like, and
yeah, although her story has a lot more gameplay than this. This is like basically a choose your own adventure book.
Like her Bandersnatch or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I enjoyed also.
Very much like Bandersnatch. Yeah. Her story is like you're like actually going through clips, you're kind of behaving like an archivist.
I was hoping that because I'd seen Late Shift and have sort of like had it on my radar a little bit, like just in case I was like, oh, like maybe we should do that, you know, on the show one time. I thought it was going to be about the Letterman Jay Leno thing.
I would have loved that. I would have loved a scenario where you have to hide in a closet during an NBC meeting as Leno. Man, they're talking about Letterman in there.
He throws so many pencils, the pencil budget's going to be through the roof. Hire me, I don't do that.
Anyway, that's it. Little Sekiro, little Light Shift. And there we go. Should we get into the topic of the day?
I think so. I think we're ready for it.
It's time to go.
They're fucking losing their minds ready for it.
Triforce of Cubes.
Yes. It's a good topic.
This is a good topic. Look, a cube, a very common object in video games. It's there in a lot of different contexts. And, you know, we have this Triforce of format we do where we pick the Triforces of courage, power, and wisdom in a given category. This time, it's all things cubes.
I think it should be pointed out that the way this was pitched was that Nick conference called us at 3 a.m. one day.
Uh-huh.
And I have my D&D set so that on multiple call, like it'll go through.
Yeah.
So I pick up on the second ring. I hear Apodaca going, Nick, you okay? And Nick just goes, Triforce of Cubes, and hangs up. Mm-hmm.
And he, like, sounded wet. If you don't remember how we do the Triforces, because it's been a little bit. We haven't done it in a little while.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be completing a Triforce in each piece. Courage, wisdom, and power. And we're going to be not drafting, but selecting different cubes from video games that satisfy each piece of the Triforce. And but who wants to go first is the real question.
I can start.
Interesting.
I mean, I don't have to.
No, I think that's fair. I think here's the thing: this was your idea.
Yeah.
And when somebody calls their shot like that, like you just did right now,
yep,
you gotta respect it. And I think you should go first.
Yeah.
Look, Heather was talking D&D earlier in the context of Do Not Disturb. We were saying I was maybe wet. Let's talk about D&D in the context of D&D, Dungeons and Dragons, and a cube that is wet, the gelatinous cube.
Wow.
The monster from D&D that has been appeared to a lot of different examples of the franchise, you know, they play it PNP, obviously, or maybe it might appear if you're playing a hack and slash game like Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance. But you know what? That cube is ooey gooey and it's scary and it fits my Triforce of Courage for that reason, because if you're going up against it, it might trap you inside of its gelatinous cube like form and you're just stuck there. So you better have some fucking cojones, you're going to go up against one of these things.
I have here in my hole a first edition, certainly one of the first editions. This is a 1981, so not a first edition. Wait. First printing.
Wow.
I have a first edition Dungeons and Dragons rule book.
Of course you do.
Holy shit. Wait, what?
Well, would that be? Because I'm seeing here that the original edition of Dungeons and Dragons was released in 1974.
Yeah, that's previous edition edited by, so this is by Gary Gygax and Dave Arneson, edited by Tom Moldvay, previous edition edited by J. Eric Holmes, 1974, 1978, 1981, TSR Hobbies basic rule set. But it says first printing, January 1981. So it must be the first printing that TSR did of the Dungeons and Dragons rule set. It's a beautiful red.
It looks, I love it.
Pamphlet.
Cool art in the front.
But I'm going to read, because I was like, I wonder if Gelatinous Cube has been there since the beginning. And sure enough, here it is. Monster's description. Also, I just turned around and reached in the, on a
that
was bookshelf.
Yeah, that was the thing that if you're listening, you didn't understand. Heather just turned around, barely searched,
yeah,
and grabbed it off her shelf.
As close to her as my cup of tea is to me.
Yeah.
Gelatinous cube. These monsters are made of a clear jelly and are shaped like cubes about 10 feet on each side. Due to their near transparency, they surprise on a roll of 1d4 or 1d6. They move through the rooms and corridors of dungeons, sweeping the halls clean of all living and dead material. In the process, they may pick up items they can't dissolve, such as gold pieces and gems. Though they usually eat carrion, they will attack any living creature they encounter, inflicting 2d4 points of damage. Each successful hit will paralyze the victim unless a saving throw versus paralysis is made. Any attacks on paralyzed victim will automatically hit. A gelatinous cube may be harmed by fire and weapons, but not by cold and lightning.
Yeah, it's got some tough immunities. It's dangerous. I'd be scared of that thing. So you better have some courage.
I don't know what this edition is, but it's pretty neat.
It is neat. Pretty neat.
I like that it's got the three-hole punch there, and if you want to put that into a binder, like a real nerd.
I hear gelatinous cube, and I'm thinking delicious. I love Jell-O.
That's the other thing, because your association with it in the real world is like, hey, I can have some gelatin, but you know, you don't want to run into the gelatinous cube.
I probably haven't had Jell-O in 20 years.
I used to have it all the time. Yeah, I don't have it at all anymore.
I got it pretty recently.
Did you love it?
Your Jell-O cup? Yeah, it's great.
Was it actual Jell-O or was it a pudding cup that was Jell-O branded?
It was Jell-O branded Jell-O cup.
Wow, okay.
What was the flavor? I gotta know more about this.
The cup of Jell-O?
I'm gonna guess lime.
Yeah.
Cherry.
Oh, cherry, sure. Classic.
That's incredible.
I wonder if there will be a gelatinous cube in the upcoming Dungeons & Dragons movie, and I wonder if they'll have a joke about it tasting like cherries or something.
I've just looked this book up on eBay, and it is not worth that much money.
Throw it away.
It's only worth like $35. It's not like I turned around and found $1,000 book.
No, but that is, and so what I'm saying here is it has no business even being in your garage. Toss it in the fucking trash.
Apparently it came with three
priceless heirlooms only.
Because the one that's on eBay has three hole punches already built in.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
That is cool.
All right, that's my first pick. Who wants to go next?
And that was the Triforce of Courage.
Triforce of Courage.
Courage. I'll go. Well, Courage, and I hope neither of you chose this, because I'll feel guilty, because I don't think there are that many cubes.
I disagree, but keep going.
But
keep
when
going.
I heard,
we could do a part two.
Triforce of Cubes, I thought the GameCube itself, one of the most courageous design decisions made in video gaming history. Second only to, I think, the Wii and the Virtual Boy. Because we were in a generation where the PlayStation 2 had already been released. It could play DVDs. And Nintendo was like, nope, we are following in the metaphorical, allegorical path of the cartridge. And we are going to create a disc that you cannot burn so that people can't just drop these little, you can't just buy these mini discs. And they released a cube and everyone was like, what the fuck is this? And yet the GameCube did not fail. Mario Kart Double Dash, Resident Evil 4, Smash Brothers, all on this fucking cube. And then my personal favorite, the Game Boy Advance add-on, which you could snap into the bottom of the GameCube. allowing it to retain its shape as a cube, just a larger cube. So you made the cube bigger, and then you could put Game Boy Advance games in it and play them on your TV. I love the GameCube. And that's my Triforce of Courage choice for Triforce of Cubes is GameCube.
I love this pick. This actually was going to be my Triforce of Power for my entries, but that's okay. I have a backup. But one thing I did pull up for this, and Matt, if we can play this, is the GameCube startup sound, which prominently features a cube. Is that the best one ever? Has there been a better startup sound?
I don't think so.
I think it's number one.
There have
what?
Been. We've had a whole episode about it.
We did an episode about this, but I still think this is the best one.
It's a great.
What do you like? You like the original PlayStation 3 startup sound? What was your pick? I forget.
God, I love that sound. That's so. Yeah. It's so audacious. It's the hubris of it.
Yeah.
Lydia Tarr of startup sounds. It is a fucking crazy choice. But I think that the absolute best is still the original PlayStation. It's so good.
It's a good one. The other thing I was going to say about the Nintendo GameCube is that there was a game on the GameCube, which I haven't played, but I remember, and I looked it up, called Cubivore. And Cubivore, a cube game on the GameCube, is the most expensive GameCube game you can find on secondary markets.
Holy shit.
It sells for $500 plus these days on eBay. So
wow.
There you go.
Wow.
Cubeception. Matt, your pick for Triforce of Courage for cubes.
Okay. This is going to sound like actually maybe the reverse of courage from what I'm about to say. You know, because one might not associate this act with being courageous or heroic, but I think every hero needs to know when to proceed and maybe when to be a little sneaky and hide. My pick for the Triforce of Courage, my Triforce Cube of Courage, the cardboard boxes from Metal Gear.
Great pick.
That great. Snake hides in.
Great pick. It's you a get great in there, cube.
It's a great cube. You could argue that maybe it's not fully a cube, but
it's a cube.
It's a cube.
It's a cube.
Every box is a cube.
Yeah.
You get in there, the soldiers or whoever defending the Shagohod don't recognize you because you're in a cube. You're in a little box hiding. And then they might get, huh? Maybe investigate, and then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And then you start blasting, and it's all fine after that, but I love getting in the box. It's so fun. It's such an iconic thing from those games. And I knew if I didn't pick it, somebody else was gonna.
Yeah. Great choice.
It's also, it makes a small cameo in a Death Stranding trailer.
Yes. That's right. And it appears with him, I feel like it's in Smash Brothers, like, when Snake pops up in there, he's in the box. You know, it's great. It's just like I don't know. Like when they eventually make this Metal Gear Solid movie, he's gonna get in a fucking box. It'd be insane if he didn't get in a box.
I wonder, I hope so. I hope they don't do a cop out joke of just kind of like Snake get in the box as like. Really? You know, I mean, I think that's a kind of like rug pull thing they would do of like that's not realistic, so we're not going to do it. We'll take the piss out of it.
I want the game in the same way that like Psycho Mantis fucks with you in the game. I want Psycho Mantis to potentially kill an audience member watching this fucking movie.
The game should the film should break the fourth wall.
Yeah,
like it should show like someone playing the game on a PlayStation. Someone is playing the movie on like that's what we're watching is someone playing a game of the movie.
It's gonna be so great if they do it.
Yeah.
If they do it right.
Credits roll at minute four.
Yeah.
So the Triforce of Cubes, Triforce of Power here.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
Power.
My next pick. Look, I was going to pick the GameCube. Savvy move by Heather to snipe it. So I'm going to go with my backup. what is more powerful as a force than love? I mean, really, it's what we're doing it all for, right?
Is that something you read or do you know that?
That's something I've heard. For the love motivates people, connects them.
Yeah.
Empires have fallen because of love.
Yep.
Cultures have risen because of love.
Yep.
Legacies endure because of the power of love. And you know what? One cube in particular signifies love. I'm speaking, of course, of the Weighted Companion Cube from the Portal series.
Wow. A great pick. A fantastic pick.
Yep.
Iconic cube. It's a powerful image when you have to incinerate the cube, when you're forced to.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's powerful. It has a power over you as the user, as the player. You find this thing and you feel a connection to it.
You do?
That's the power of love. I think you do.
That's the power of cubes.
Wait, I thought that the companion cube was a joke about how you don't feel any connection to a cube.
But I think, as a result, you do have a connection to the cube, and I think we see that played out in people buying like plushies of the cube. People love the cube. It's an instantly iconic shape.
So it's
in all of gaming.
It's an irony on top of an irony.
I think so.
I think people do. GLaDOS is like, hey, you like things. Why don't you like this cube? And mm-hmm. and then you're like, I don't give a shit about this. And then you throw it in an incinerator and you're like, okay. But then you start to develop this meta narrative about having actually cared about the cube. So then you buy a plushie of it.
Could be. I also will say my initial reaction when I played through Portal for the first time is I have this cube with the hearts on it. It's called the Weighted Companion Cube. I feel a little bit bad putting that in the incinerator.
Does
and
it make
I think
sound
that's a lot of people's reactions.
It? No.
It screams.
No, it really is just a cube with hearts on it, but it's my pick for the Triforce of Power of cubes.
It's an excellent pick.
Heather, to you.
All right. This was wisdom?
Power.
This is power. Nothing represents power quite like a power up.
Mm.
And that's why my second cube is the question block. But I'm specifically going to say the question blocks in Mario Kart.
Wow. The because item boxes.
The what? What'd you call them?
They call them item boxes.
Item box. The question block. Ba-ding!
Ba-ding!
Yeah. But the Mario Kart version. Because I'm not sure that I think, like, in Super Mario Bros., is the cube a cube? Or is it a flat panel because you exist on a two-dimensional space? Who knows?
Well, in the 3D Marios, it is a... I think it is a cube.
And so in the modern 2D Marios, yeah. Too, you know, they have depth.
I buy it as a 2D representation of 3D.
Do you guys think that they're the same item?
Yes. I do...
Yes.
I think for the exercise... Yes, but in practice, absolutely not.
Right, because you just drive...
I think of them as different.
You drive your car through the item box, and it's effectively a ghost.
And, but yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, but when you punch the question block, the item box in Mario Bros., they resist you.
Yes.
I thought you were asking if the question block in 3D Mario's is the same as the question block in 2D Mario's. If you're asking if between Mario Kart and mainline Mario's, then I would say no, they're not the same.
But they're probably manufactured by the same company.
Sure.
Because they've got the same logo. The Riddler's logo. Anyway, I'm choosing the Mario Kart question block cube. Item box, whatever you want to fucking call it, as my cube of power here in Triforce of Cubes. And it's the block which exclusively determines the fate of the race.
Yeah.
Because
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
The rubber band mechanics of Mario Kart games are such that you can constantly gain speed on a first player. The person in first place is artificially slowed by the game itself, and the people in last place are artificially sped up. There's a higher top speed on the map itself if you're in last place. So the only control you actually have is the randomized element of the question block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, there's the blue shell, which takes out whoever's in first, though it is in rare occasion can be dodged. There's the banana peel, the red shell, the homing shell, the mm-hmm. green shell, which is an untargeted random shell. You've got, you know, latter day power ups like the lightning bolt, which shrinks everybody. You've got a bunch of coins, I think you can fucking get. Blooper. I don't remember what those do. Mushrooms that make you go fast.
Yeah. You can ink somebody with a blooper.
It is an excellent cube and one that provides you with power. That's why it is my cube of power in the Triforce of Cubes. Matt, you're up.
Wow.
Can I tell you what? Because my girlfriend doesn't play a lot of video games, but she does play Mario Kart with me sometimes. So she doesn't have a lot of language for like what certain things are in video games. So when we're playing Mario Kart, when she sees those blocks coming up, she's like, oh, good, my toys. She calls them toys.
That's cute.
It's really cute.
I like that. I love personal shorthand for game stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I didn't even get any good toys, or I missed the toys. It makes me laugh every time. It's great. My Triforce of Power, my cube for the Triforce of Power, maybe one of the earliest cubes in games. This is a cube that, you know, can make or break a good run.
Mm.
I was speaking of the square piece from Tetris.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah. Huh. Nobody was thinking about that, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting, because you're all thinking about, you know, the L shapes.
Sure.
The line, perhaps, or the one, you know, the one that goes like that.
Yeah. Matt just made sort of like a lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Motion.
But that square, that block, that cube comes in clutch. Sometimes it could be a detriment to a good run. You know, you might only have space for a specific piece that you need, and you're going to have to start building further out that way. But sometimes it slots right in there, and it clears your, you know, two rows or whatever. Then you can keep building. I love that little guy. Sometimes I feel like he's mostly yellow. I feel like I see him as yellow a lot. So the yellow cube from Tetris is my pick for the Triforce of Power.
Let's just say, I'd say you get all cubes from Tetris.
All of them? You think those other ones are cubes too?
I just don't want to lock you into the yellow cube because they're not always yellow.
That's not always. Okay, yeah. The cube from Tetris.
Depends on what platform
you're
playing.
The cube piece there from Tetris.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's not yellow on Game Boy, is he?
No, Could it be argued that it was a square until the Virtual Boy made it into a cube?
It could, but to that I say no. Only because I feel like everybody has always called them blocks. Like I feel like it's always been like Tetris blocks, like those things. So to me, a block automatically has depth, even if you can't see it.
Do you remember?
And I'll take no further questions.
Do you remember playing Tetris on the Virtual Boy?
Yeah, I remember being physically ill doing that.
Just such a confounding game.
Yeah, a nightmare. Yes. Just bad.
Should not exist.
But I'd be interested to try the Tetris effect in VR.
Oh, that seems like it could be great. Yeah.
But anyway, Nick, let's kick it over to you. Final piece, wisdom.
Dictionary.com defines wisdom as scholarly knowledge or learning. And you know what I would consider a synonym for that? Intelligence.
Wow.
And so when I'm picking my Triforce of Wisdom of cubes, I'm going with the intelligent cube from PlayStation 1. This cube's so fucking smart, it's spelled with a Q. Intelligent, Q-U-B-E. This was a cool puzzle platformer for the PS1 that I think you can play on PSN. I think it's maybe available on contemporary platforms, but cool aesthetic, including really cool music, which will You know, it's not the kind of music you'd typically expect from a puzzle game. Let's go ahead and play some of this, Matt.
Interesting.
It's like the middle movement from a Shostakovich symphony. It's just so fucking epic. Not a great comparison, but a more contemporary game that you can kind of compare this to. It doesn't have the story or the horniness, but just in terms of kind of how it plays, very vaguely a Catherine, which we covered on the podcast. You know, like a lot, like the it's like a puzzle platformer game with a character, and it's unique and cool, and it certainly fits the Triforce of Wisdom of Cubes. Intelligent Cube.
Nice.
Our final selection from me answers a question of wisdom, because this is the... let's try again. I mean, you can keep what I just said, but it's clear that I was like having a mild aneurysm while I was speaking.
Take off the virtual boy.
The best selling system of all time demonstrates a strength of wisdom that few other consoles can achieve. But embedded in that system, default, without putting in a disc, are a set of cubes. On every startup screen, you would begin your journey into a PlayStation 2 game by seeing cubes. But what some players didn't realize is that those cubes changed shape and stacked atop one another based on the number of games you played and the length of time you played them. So over the course of the life of the PlayStation 2, those cubes were changing in response to you. And that is wisdom.
Wow.
Why don't we start?
Incredible.
Why don't we start the PS2 right now, right here on this show? You're just in a space field of like shapes and cubes and blocks. Probably my least favorite sort of sound of all
consoles. Yeah, it's kind of nothing.
I love it.
But really, really deeply nostalgic for an entire generation of gamers. That is my third cube. Are the cubes on the screen of the PlayStation 2.
Excellent choice. I looked it up just because I was curious when you were talking about the best-selling console of all time. PlayStation 2, what you're referring to, is still number one. Switch is kind of, you know, not quite nipping at its heels, but it's coming up, and I wonder if Nintendo is not going to release a new console until Switch overtakes PlayStation 2. I wonder if they kind of have that as an internal corporate goal.
It's wild that, because I would think that in a time when we have so many other entertainment options.
Yes.
The saturation point of the Switch is kind of remarkable. Like
100%.
You've got a fucking phone in your other pocket, a television showing infinity streaming services, computers, tablets, and yet the Switch is still dominating.
Yeah. And all the things you mentioned other than the Switch, you can get hentai on. You can on the Switch.
What?
I'm just saying, like, it's amazing it's succeeding despite that. Got all these platforms I can consume hentai on. I can't do it on the Switch. Still, it's dominating.
Consume? Why did the word consume bother me? Yeah. What was that?
Content
at
is
least
consumed.
You didn't say absorb.
Yeah. Yeah. Absorb is worse. You're right. I'll allow consume.
Throw a hentai manga into a gelatinous cube.
Wasn't gelatinous when it started. Okay, my wisdom pick. It's been mentioned already.
Wow.
So I'm just going to get right to it.
Wow.
I think this type of puzzle should be a standalone game. And maybe I should check out Intelligent Cube. But the cubes from Catherine, I remember when we played Catherine.
Wow.
Couldn't care less about any rest of it. That puzzle aspect of that game was extremely my shit. I loved that game, that part of that game. Confounded by the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you took that out, I think it's a very smart puzzle game.
Yeah.
And requires a lot of thinking, a lot of like, because you're like, okay, you're a guy hanging on a block. I'd keep that part of it too. Why not? Doesn't have to, don't change.
Yes.
That this is a man in distress in his dreams or whatever. That's fine. But to have the foresight to, you know, where to go next, to plot your next move, that requires a lot of thought. You can mess up pretty quickly in that game. And so that's why it's my pick for wisdom. The cubes from Catherine. Do I remember what they're called? Absolutely not. I don't know if they have a name specifically. But it's sort of like it's like a map kind of almost, where it's like you're sort of scaling up a series of different cubes. But they're cubes nonetheless.
Yeah.
And this is the Triforce of Cubes. And that is my final selection.
That's a great pick, Matt. It was a fun game we covered. We covered that in our old format with our friend Sean Diston. And it's what gave the podcast my medium-lived catchphrase, which I'll sometimes return to and will certainly be spammed in our Twitch chat.
Yes.
Edge, which is said repeatedly while you're playing Catherine. Horny-ass game. And you're hearing a voice command you to edge.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And there, I mean, that was, should we repeat our Triforces?
Yes, my Triforce of Courage, Gelatinous Cube, Triforce of Power, Weighted Companion Cube, and Triforce of Wisdom, Intelligent Cube.
I have the Triforce of Courage, Game Cube, Triforce of Power, Question Block / Item Box from Mario Kart, and the Triforce of Wisdom is the PlayStation 2 Opening Loading Screen Cube.
Wow.
And my Triforce of Courage are the cardboard boxes from the Metal Gear series. Triforce of Power, the square block from Tetris. And finally, the cubes from the Catherine puzzle portion of the game for wisdom to complete my Triforce of Cubes.
Amazingly, still on the board, Q-Bert, the cube man himself.
Yeah, that's right.
No one picked Q-Bert. He's hopping all over cubes. He's changing their colors.
I just figured he was out of commission because he started a family with Josh Gad.
He's really busy with his loving marriage to Josh
Fucked
Gad.
In the nose hole.
Speak at the end of Pixels.
Yeah.
Hey, that was the Triforce of Cubes.
That's right.
Not to give ourselves praise, but I thought that was a fucking home run.
I thought it was a fucking blast. That's I great. Loved it. And I loved being really surprised. A lot of my picks got picked, you know?
Yeah.
But there's no reason we couldn't do a part two of this.
Yeah, we'll do a part two for sure.
Oh, my God.
Hey, speaking of cubes, it's time for a different sort of cube, the question block.
Ding! All right. I'm going to kick this off with a voicemail.
Wow.
And if you're a fucking pothead like the rest of us, you might know who this is.
Hey guys, Chef Kevin here. I'm a big fan of the show, and I listen every Sunday night when it drops. It's a lot of fun listening to the pod right when it comes out, which made me wonder about your experiences playing a video game the night it drops. Last year, I had a lot of fun playing the new God of War when it came out, and on the other side, I remember playing the new Gotham Knights game and thinking, I really need to start being a lot more careful with my money. Thanks so much. And Matt, if you listen to this and just want to text me instead, hey, dude, just because we're friends doesn't mean I'm going to play your stupid voicemail. I totally understand. Thanks, gang.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, that Thanks, reminded Chef Kevin. Me Thanks that I have God of War and I have not opened it.
God, yeah, that's a bad feeling. That's a bad adult feeling. I have the money
shit.
To buy this game and I don't have the money to play it.
I got it for free, so I don't feel that bad. But I also feel bad because I'm like, fuck, I really like Vikings as a setting.
Sure.
I really should put it in. I should put it in on May 1st.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Just until you'll have 11 days to play through it before Breath of the Wild 2 comes out. So that'll be great.
Oh my God.
Here's a question for... There you go.
Ooh.
Here's a question for everyone. What do you like better, Viking or cowboy?
Viking.
Oh.
Fucking Viking right away, man. Viking.
That's really tough because that's older than Cowboy.
Yeah.
Cowboy is like closer to space than it is old, if you think about it in those terms.
Yeah, you do like space more than old.
Yes, but...
But you also like the ocean.
I love the ocean. And Vikings, they're all over that motherfucker.
Yeah.
But I think I gotta... I feel like there's a lot of Viking stuff in games, and there's less Cowboy. So I think I gotta go Cowboy, because every time I'm doing Cowboy stuff, I'm like, this rocks. This is so fun.
It's Cowboy for me. I think a lot of it is that just, you know, I'm like Matt, I grew up in Southern California, so in proximity to a lot of the desert landscapes that are depicted in the Old West. And so a lot of that, yeah, I've been to a lot of ghost towns and sort of old cowboy shootout spots and saloons. And so I have a lot of affinity for that.
Yeah, and you were there too, so.
All right. But it was Vikings are cool. Vikings are very cool. I just kind of like, I also like horses and guns, I think, more than boats and, you know, pole arms or whatever the fuck they were using.
So can I say something potentially too woke for our podcast?
Sure.
You better be careful, because don't set me off.
The Wild West, as much as I love the studios. Food. Mm-hmm. The genre has started to make me extremely uncomfortable, because I'm basically watching genocide from the point of view of the Nazis.
Yeah.
In a way, like it's really hard for me to divorce and romanticize. Whereas like the Vikings are just as violent and horrible.
Yeah.
But they're also farmers. There's just like it feels like, when the Vikings existed, everybody everywhere was going around conquering and killing everybody. And like, oh, it's the church versus the, like, everybody everywhere is just like,
and in like
constantly annihilating each other.
Yeah. By the 19th century, war had pretty much been abolished.
Cowboys, I think I know what Heather's saying. Like, by the time you get to cowboy times, everyone else is sort of like, hey, we're not doing that. And cowboys are like, fuck that. We're going to fucking kill everybody.
Yeah, it's emblematic of like a wave of genocide that like goes across the country. And cool, San Francisco in old times is neat to look at. And I do like looking at it, like it's neat. But I think just... emotionally, it's easier for me to enjoy Viking stuff. And I understand also that Viking stuff is being co-opted by like white nationalists.
Yeah.
So it's really, there's no fun.
No.
Where's the fun?
No. And you know, it's tough to know that.
Fun.
Yeah. Just forget about all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's what makes it fun.
It's, you know, if you don't succumb to the woke mind virus, everything can be fun. How about we read some...
Wait, I didn't get a response. Oh, didn't respond to the question.
Oh, yeah.
Which was
sorry. Yeah, Chef Kevin.
Games that were... times we played a game when it just came out. For me, I'm really, really glad we all played Elden Ring as soon as it came out.
Yes.
Because a lot of times... Look, gaming is an extraordinarily expensive hobby, especially if you're playing things new upon release. And one way you can make it budget-friendly is just fucking wait for Red Dead Redemption 2 to go on Steam sale for $19,
yes.
You know, 5 years after it releases. But you can do that with... You can play... You can game on a budget if you're willing to be a few years behind, or even a generation behind.
Mm-hmm.
You can... This extremely expensive hobby, you can make a lot more palatable to your wallet. But it is really fun to be engaged in the zeitgeist when something that's huge and is making a massive cultural impact is on the scene. And so I still like a game like Elden Ring is like, this is so big, I have to play this right away. And you know, Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, when that releases on May 12th, I'm going to be playing that immediately.
Yes.
Because I want to be part of that conversation and be able to absorb all the memes or whatever. So I say generally... Yes, I these days I reserve it for just absolutely massive titles.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, I do remember getting Final Fantasy VIII at launch and playing the shit out of that right away, because Final Fantasy, I played previous Final Fantasy entries, but Final Fantasy VIII was the first one I was like day one on. And because, you know, Final Fantasy VII, I bought a PlayStation to play. So it was a little bit after it released. Final Fantasy VIII, I was like, this is coming out. I think it came out the same day as the Dreamcast. Does that sound correct, Heather? I think that was
probably
Sony's counter programming to the Dreamcast launch, and a very successful and. Very successfully so. And yeah, I just played the shit out of that immediately and had the time of my fucking life.
I remember, because we did because we the way we did this on the show, we did we covered Left Behind, The Last of Us DLC, right before The Last of Us 2 dropped, and I hadn't finished the original The Last of Us.
Yes.
So I played through that, played through Left Behind, and I think we recorded the Left Behind episode on like Last of Us 2 Eve, basically. And I was able to just go straight into The Last of Us 2 from recording, basically.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, this feels so good. This is like, I was just, you know, also the pandemic had started. So it was just like, it was just like a fucking like, just dark time in general.
Sure.
So I was already wallowing in that. But that felt really good, like just to be in on that and like play through that pretty quickly. And also like, I buy a lot of physical games now, but like when Animal Crossing came out, similar time.
That's a great one.
I was so happy to be playing Animal Crossing as it was brand new,
yeah,
with everybody else in my friend group and people that I wasn't even that close with. Like just playing Animal Crossing together was great, was a perfect thing to be doing, and I loved doing that.
Non-gamers that I like kind of knew.
Yeah.
I was like visiting their islands and like they were playing and they had the, you know, playing the shit out of this game. That was a great moment.
Heather, do you have one? Did you say one?
I have nostalgic for those times. Nostalgia for those times already.
It was three years ago.
Strange time.
Yeah.
There's so many games I've played on drop. Last of Us Part 2, naturally. I think I played Sonic 2 the day it came out, which was fucking magical. Elden Ring, as we said. But, like, I've even played, like, Grand Theft Auto games, which I'm not, like, a big Grand Theft Auto person. But it feels like if you're going to play Grand Theft Auto, you have to play it the day it comes out so that you're, like,
sure,
on the ride with everybody else.
Vice City and San Andreas in particular, because like three, I feel like there was kind of a slow burn of people like, have you played this game? It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
so there was so much hype for Vice City and San Andreas when those came out that, yeah, you kind of wanted to be playing those at launch.
Yeah. I feel like there's been a ton. I know I played The Last of Us Part 1 the day it was released because I was fucking looking forward to that game for forever. And I know I will play Factions the day it is released. God, I hope that game breaks the chokehold that Fortnite has on my multiplayer fun. Ugh, I would love to walk away. Can't walk away. those are the ones that come to mind.
The ones that, like, I feel like there wasn't, to the other side of Kevin's question.
Final Fantasy 15.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't purchased a game in a while where I was like, oh, I kind of wish I didn't buy this, except for Sonic Frontiers, but I didn't buy that at launch.
How dare you?
But usually I'm pretty selective. I feel like when I buy something, I know that I'm probably going to enjoy it anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I haven't had the other side of that coin in a long time.
Let's get another question.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Chef Kevin.
Thanks, Chef Kevin. Thanks for listening, buddy.
Thank you, Chef Kevin.
I'll text him later.
we cut your voicemail from the show.
Yeah, we're going to. Yeah, hey, sorry, buddy. I just didn't make it. Too fruitful of a conversation. this one's from Horse Gam on our Discord. What's the best bread to go with soup? Any soup of your choice.
This is a great question. I've been buying a lot of fresh loaves lately.
Mm-hmm.
Could go to Bub and Grandma's, the bakery. They'll have like a little outlet at the farmer's market. Shout to Tyler. I'll do a little bit of a swerve here. I think what's a lot of fun to have with soup is some croutons. Throw some croutons in there. And what I did with some, you know, like kind of get it and stale fresh loaf I got is I cut it up into cubes, as is the topic of the day, tossed it with some olive oil and some garlic salt, baked it in the oven for a little bit. That was a great fucking soup companion.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think croutons is a great choice.
That's excellent.
Throw some croutons in there.
I think
the question is more about sopping bread, which I'll think on.
I've been doing something lately which has transformed my soup game. which is making full garlic bread every time I have soup.
This is alpha as hell.
The fact that you even have a soup game is like is incredible information.
I love soup. I love soup and I love stew. And I was like, one day I was like having a tomato soup and I was like, man, I really want something to eat with it. And typically you go with grilled cheese with a tomato soup. But instead I made garlic bread, scratch garlic bread, French bread, cut in half, put in the toaster, butter and fresh garlic. Right. And I have one of those, not toaster, like vertical toaster, a horizontal toaster.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I bet this would be pretty good with a chicken noodle soup.
Mm.
And I made garlic bread with a chicken noodle soup. And sure enough, incredible.
That might be the best answer.
I have yet to find a soup that isn't elevated by a big, crunchy, hot garlic bread side.
Yeah, that's so good. That's an incredible answer. I was going to say, I'm pretty basic when it comes to bread, but like, I love sourdough. Sourdough is my favorite. I love sourdough so much. I'm dipping that sucker in anything you put in front of me. I'm dipping it. I love it. And maybe not anything, you know, not like applesauce or like something sweet.
Sure.
But and when it comes to soups, if I got some sourdough bread, it's going straight in there. That's a home run to me.
Such a good soup bread, they make a fucking bowl out of it.
That's right. It's sturdy.
Yeah. To give a more bready answer, I will say that, you know, not that they necessarily are known for their soups, although they have some decent soups on their menu, but as a sopping bread, that brown bread you get from Cheesecake Factory,
Get
yourself a little cup of soup and you got some of that bread on the table that hot and fresh to soak it up.
I love the Cheesecake Factory.
It's so fucking good. Matt, if you ever want to go after a court.
Yeah, I'm 100% down. Yeah, we should go to the Cheesecake Factory.
Heather, do you want to go to the Cheesecake Factory after a court someday?
Sure.
Jordan, you can come too.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Jordan's nodding.
I'm in.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
I'm getting a fucking herb crusted Parmesan chicken over there. Call it a day.
Yeah. Get a fucking 1800 calorie salad.
I'm there a lot. Here's an interesting question from Crest Sphinx from the Discord. What was your first job in California? Now, Nick and I from California. So our first jobs would be from here.
Yes. I've never lived anywhere else.
Yeah.
But I've lived in the same county my entire life.
Yeah.
My first job in California is probably grocery delivery girl.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for yummy.com before they provided you with a car. And I drove my own car and I delivered groceries before smartphones. And so I had to use a paper map to get around Los Angeles. I had to pre-plan my route.
Wild.
And going up to the hills to deliver groceries to rich people in the hills with a paper map, finding like Wonder Vista, Yellow Sun Drive, like fucking finding that shit, like Pacific View, getting the groceries to those people's homes and then being tipped sometimes negative cents was defining moments in my young life. So grocery delivery girl. And I also transcribed reality TV for China, as I think I've mentioned on this podcast before.
One thing, and this speaks to your character, Heather, you have paid it forward in the sense of now when you get delivery, I know you're an extra generous tipper.
Holy shit. I make everybody. I would like to believe, because I having come from Yummy and now ordering Yummy, I tip them the way that I wish that I had been tipped. And I'd like to imagine, because when I worked there, you had a sense of like which houses tipped okay. And
yeah,
you generally sort of stagger those out with your fellow drivers so that, you know, you wouldn't always be the one going to the place that tipped $10.
Right.
So I'd like to believe that I've created fights at Yummy. I'd like to think that like the Joker throwing out money in the parade. Who do you trust? Money, money, money. Hubba, hubba, hubba. Who do you trust? that I'm creating chaos in Gotham City.
Man, the 80s were a horrible time for, you know, like society and for the economy and to really sort of set the table for the bifurcation of wealth in this country and the empowerment of corporations. But movies, like they were just mainstream entertainments like RoboCop and the Tim Burton Batman that explicitly commented on that. That's still like hold up to this day.
Yeah.
Great era for movies.
I'm giving away free money. And where is the Batman? He's at home washing his tights.
That makes me want to put it on.
It's so good.
It's fucking great.
Nick, what was your first job? Like
I worked at a bookstore.
Okay.
And I stocked shelves. And I also worked in the warehouse as part of that, an offsite warehouse where there would be like, you know, like boxes you were unloading or crates you were loading around a lot of pallets. I will say that it was not a customer service job. It was primarily like just, hey, take these books and put them on these shelves. And it was one of those first, it was my first like, you know, time to, you got time to lean, you got time to clean, sort of like that dehumanizing aspect of it. Because there were times where it's like, there aren't any books to stock. They'd be like, all right, go straighten up the shelves. There's like, so I'm going to go around and like fucking make sure all the books line up on the shelf. This is annoying as hell. That said, the sheer monotony of it, it was like something I was like, I think I could probably just do this forever. I would have no trouble just kind of like just having this be I just go in and I put books on shelves and I make sure they're in the right order. And I will say that the times I could have human contact, which would be like a customer comes up to me and was just like, excuse me, where can I find a book on art history? I would like relish those moments.
Sure.
I'd be like, oh, I've just been like doing this task. Also, Heather was talking about before smartphones. In this sense, and I think this is true, is obviously due for a lot of customer service jobs, you can't have headphones in, but it's a lot easier these days to have like, you know, I could sneak in one earbud and have something playing in my head. You can do that there. You're just alone with your thoughts. So that made the time go slower. But when I'd have those moments of customer interaction, I could be like, hey, yeah, I'll go show you the art history books. Here they go. I'll walk with you.
Yeah.
Here
and they're like, no, thanks.
Yeah. I'm Weiger.
Tell me. I worked at a grocery store. I worked at Albertsons out here. That was my first job ever. I got that right out of high school and was there for a few years. And they wanted to promote me so bad, but I was like never around because I would always be like be doing like improv shows or something. Yeah. And they were like, well, we want to promote you, but you can't. We can't. You're just like, you barely work enough for us to keep you here. But they were, I loved working there. And during the pandemic, I had like survivor's guilt kind of like when I would go to grocery stores and I would just be like, so like I always bag my own stuff anyway.
Yeah.
Cause I'm just always like, I got this, like I can do it. I'm just standing here. It sucks to see one person like really hustling, you know, when it's super busy. I'm taking my cart back. I'll grab another cart if I see a cart. I hate poor etiquette at a grocery store so much. It drives me insane.
I love putting carts back.
Me too.
Yeah.
I did it for hours and hours sometimes. And that was a part of the day where I could put a headphone in.
That's nice.
And if the manager saw, if Manny saw me doing that, he'd tell me to take it out.
Was your manager named Manny?
He was.
Fuck. Yeah. It's a good manager.
Pretty cool. Last one. I think this is an interesting question. This one's from Way, Way, Way. What's your favorite thing to fall asleep to?
Dead silence and pitch blackness.
Yeah. Cause I know you have sleeping issues.
Yeah. I want it to be tomb quiet. Mm-hmm. I want to feel like I'm in a coffin. I want that Dracula sleep.
Yeah.
There's no TV in our bedroom. There's no I don't have white noise on anything.
Yeah.
All the lights are off. All the shades are pulled. It's as dark as possible. If I'm in a hotel, I'm using them blackout curtains.
Yeah.
I just want dark and quiet.
I used to have a TV in my room and I would always put on like The Simpsons or like Seinfeld. And then I'd have a hard time getting to sleep because I'm laughing my fucking ass off.
If there's something on a screen, I'm just riveted.
I'm just laughing. But now it's like I'll play a little bit of something in bed or like I'll be reading and then I just have a very clear like shutdown mode where I just put everything away and then just like sit there with my eyes closed until I'm asleep and I make it happen.
Yeah.
I listen to ocean sounds on a HomePod.
Oh,
which
that's
is
cool.
just a sort of fluctuating white noise that sounds like an ocean wave hitting a beach. That's it. Yeah. Like just a shh, shh, like that, just over and over again. That's my sleep. I go to bed extremely early because I wake up extremely early.
Yeah.
And try not to look at my phone for the last hour and a half before I go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes read a book, sometimes do a crossword puzzle, and then go to sleep with an ocean sound.
You ever switch it to Titanic mode just to hear something else?
Well, I saw recently on Twitter somebody being like, I'm never listening to YouTube sleep sounds ever again, because they had cut to 6 hours or 5 hours into relaxing city rain, like the audio. And then in the background of the city, you hear, oh, no, no, God, no.
Oh,
bang, bang,
Christ.
Bang, 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 bang. Ah, oh, God. And then you hear like a car crash.
Wow.
And I was like, that is a sinister prank.
Because
nobody's going to know it exists until you've listened to like 4 or 5 hours of rain sounds.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cruel.
It's pretty cruel.
Yeah.
But yeah, Titanic, that was what the Titanic joke / question.
It was a joke.
Great.
It's fair to call it a joke, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
Nobody has to laugh at a joke for it to be a joke. You know what I mean?
True. Like,
you
can still...
You know, I think I might start falling asleep, too. All right, Barack, let's go ahead and put Red Shell in A tier. Of course you'd like Red Shell and A tier, Sleepy Joe.
Honestly, the way culture is right now, if that's not a fucking TV show by the end of this year, I'll be livid.
Three AI presidents arguing over video games. More entertaining than this show.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Hey, that's this week's Get Played. Links to our social media are in the episode description. Shout out to Jordan Duffy, Jordan K. Duffy on Instagram, who does our engineering. Check out our paywalled show, Get Animate, as well. Heather, we're watching Blue Lock still.
We're on episode 7 and 8 of Blue Lock. It is a fantastic show. If you like anime, watch along. If you don't like anime, it's still a pretty good time. So check us out on patreon.com/getplayed or about a month later on Stitcher Premium as we discuss Blue Lock. And all the other anime that's fit to anime.
Creed 3 director star Michael B. Jordan has endorsed Blue Lock. Described it in an interview with Polygon as dope as fuck.
Yeah, so
great anime.
Right.
In a way, he's endorsed our podcast.
I think that's fair to say.
I think it's like he's saying that that's good too. He said it.
Yeah.
Guys. I want to say I was wrong.
Wow.
Wow. That's big.
The Triforce of Cubes was a good time.
I had a blast.
I'm the one who got played this week.
Wow.